With free agency nearly closed, what should be the number one point of emphasis for the Rams headed into OTAs and minicamps?
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Travis Rogers. I host the Rams pregame show, halftime show, and postgame show on their flagship station, ESPN 710, right here in Los Angeles. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, my name, at Travis Rogers. Of course, make sure you click that subscribe button, Locked On Rams, on both your podcast feed and our Locked On Rams YouTube channel as well. Today's episode of Locked On Rams is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Okay, I want to talk about the Rams schedule. We'll get into that in just a little bit. The third hardest schedule in the NFL, according to odds makers. I think it's probably even harder than that. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. Plus, Sean McVay was talking about Zach Taylor, giving him a whole bunch of praise that I think is pretty shrewd and pretty on the money and a lot like what the Rams had to go through a few years ago. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes. But let's get right to it, right? Free agency is nearly done. Free agency, most of the big-name guys have been moved, and if the teams were going to make moves with big splashy names, I think most of that has probably happened already. The Rams add Bobby Wagner. The Rams add Allen Robinson. We've seen Von Miller leave. We've seen Darius Williams leave. We've seen Sebastian Joseph Day leave. So the Rams have had a great deal of activity during the regular season. They traded Robert Woods along the way as well. So a lot of things going on there for the Rams. So as the dust starts to settle, what is the number one priority for them going into OTAs, going into minicamps? And then, you know, believe it or not, even though it's only very early April, you're going to snap your fingers. The draft's going to be in the rearview mirror. Training camps are going to be open. Guys are going to be in sweats and out there in the middle of the summer in the heat at UC Irvine getting ready to play some games. And the season's going to be here before you know it. So as we sit here right now, what is the number one point of emphasis for this team heading into the regular season, heading into their title defense? And I think it's pretty obvious. I think it has to be how that revamped offensive line is going to work now that Andrew Whitworth is gone. There was a piece on ESPN talking about Joe Noteboom kind of sliding into that role, replacing Andrew Whitworth along the way. Their center, Brian Allen, who signed a new deal with the Rams this offseason as well, said it's a new era of Rams offensive line. It's going to be weird without Whit here, okay? That's Brian Allen. Here's Joe Noteboom. The best part is knowing the coaches have the confidence in you to sign you back to a contract here and put you in that spot, but it's also a challenge. Being the guy now comes with a little more responsibility. It's more motivating than ever. He talks about how Andrew Whitworth was an incredibly valuable mentor for him. Quote, it was a perfect situation. There was no other guy in the league I'd rather have been behind for those 4 years. That gives me confidence going into it. Okay, sure. Yes, I think that Joe Noteboom was the right guy to fill in here. He knows the Rams system. He knows what they're trying to get done in the passing game and the running game. He knows the calls. He's familiar with Matthew Stafford. He's familiar with Sean McVay and everything that he does offensively. So this is very good news. The fact of the matter is we just don't know what that's going to look like week in and week out. We just don't know with a guy like Austin Corbett leaving to go to Carolina what that offensive line is going to look like. You know, you got Rob Havenstein on the right. You got Noteboom on the left. You got Allen in the middle. And we'll see how the other two positions shake out. You know, maybe it's Edwards. Maybe it's somebody else that we've talked about before, Evans. You know, there are some other options that they have at these different positions. But the fact of the matter is, you just don't know what it's going to look like when you take a piece like Andrew Whitworth out. And let's actually talk about the football part of it. We've spent so much time talking about the leadership components that Andrew Whitworth brings to your team. What about the actual football part of it? Now, all of a sudden, you're a lot, and I shouldn't say a lot, you are thinner on the offensive line. Your depth needs to be replaced. Maybe that happens in the draft. Maybe that's something that they can fill in the later rounds. You know, their first pick, I believe, is 104, 106. I'm going by memory here, so I think it's 104. But they, you know, maybe you can find an offensive lineman at that point. Maybe you can do what they've done with Allen. Maybe they can do what they've done with Noteboom, which is put them in a position to learn behind some veterans, which Allen and Noteboom are at this point, and get them ready to play on a regular basis in a couple of years. You know, time will tell. But when you take your left tackle and a left tackle like Andrew Whitworth, who, again, let's put the leadership aside, but just a guy that's going to play more or less, you know, 15, 16, 17 games a year. A guy that is, he might get beat once in a blue moon. That's going to happen. But he's not going to get beat between his ears. He's not going to get beat because he misses a call. He's not going to get beat because he misses an assignment. He's not going to get beat because he thought we're doing one thing and the other four guys on the offensive line thought they were doing another. That's not really going to be a problem with a player like Andrew Whitworth. With a new guy, and even though he's not necessarily new, like brand new, but it's different. You heard what he said. The responsibility that comes along with protecting Matthew Stafford's blindside for whatever it is, 65 snaps a game times 17 games a year times however many playoff games there are, that's very different than, hey, we need you to go in here today. We need you to go in here and play for Big Wit today. We need you to go in there and make sure that you can play right guard for a week, and then we'll get through and we'll get our guys back and we can start shuffling guys up and down the line. It's a very different dynamic. And I think you're really going to start to see Andrew Whitworth's absence impacted there, potentially, as the season gets deeper and deeper. How do you stay ready? How do you continue to push? How do you continue to take care of your body? Hopefully, all of the work that he did with these guys over the course of the last several years starts to bear some fruit, right? And hopefully that, because think about it like this. Think about if you've ever worked out on your own, and whether you ever worked out in a group setting, a team setting, or with a trainer or whatever it is, when there's a leader, right, who's saying, okay, we're going to do this, and we're going to make sure that we do it in this order, we're going to make sure we do it for this amount of time, we're going to do it with this amount of intensity, and you can kind of go along with it, it's a little bit easier than you just go, okay, I'm just going to go out here and I'm going to try to replicate that for myself. And that's what we're talking about. You're talking about the lead trainer, the head coach, the big dog, who, however you want to characterize it, he's gone. It's up to you now. Who's the guy that says, hey, let's work on this after practice? Is it Rob Havenstein? Maybe. Is it a guy like Brian Allen who steps into that role? Is Joe Noteboom capable of doing that in his first year as a starter? These are all the questions that I think are very, very, very interesting for this team, because think about what the Rams have put together so far this season. They have the best defensive back in football with Jalen Ramsey. Look around. They got to fill out some holes there, right? You got to get that other corner covered. I think they probably need to address some safety issues. But with Jalen Ramsey on the third level of your defense, you feel pretty good. Middle level of the defense. Bobby Wagner, enough said, right? They just added another four-time All-Pro in the last 5 years. First-team All-Pro, I should say, in the last 4 years. So that's covered. Aaron Donald, not even going to say another word. Move on to the other side. You've got offensive playmakers all over the place. Cooper Kupp is going to be there. You've got Allen Robinson, who just came into town. Maybe Odell Beckham Jr. comes back. Maybe he doesn't. But even if he doesn't, you still have two very dynamic wide receivers. You've got Tyler Higbee, who I think is going to be a very valuable player for them. And then you've got Cam Akers, who has been, you know, a little bit hit and miss along the way. Maybe he's the guy. Maybe it's Daryl Henderson. Feels like Akers, probably. And then, of course, you got Matthew Stafford. You've got Sean McVay, your head coach. You've got Raheem Morris, your defensive coordinator, a defense that just was as equally vital to you winning the Super Bowl as anything else. What did we leave out in all of this? The offensive line. And I think that it's going to be good, but it can't just be good. It needs to be very good. It needs to be good enough to do what that group did last year with Andrew Whitworth kind of anchoring the group. Not just emotionally, but in a total football sense, he was still a very, very good football player. So is Joe Noteboom, but it's different when you're the guy week in and week out. You heard Brian Allen say, it's going to be very different without Big Wit here. Yes, it is. And how they address that, I think, is going to be near the top of the list of priorities when they get into camp. Who takes the leadership role there? Who's the guy that sets the tone among that group, in that room, that offensive line group? Because for the last 5 years, there was no question who that was going to be. It was going to be Andrew Whitworth, and everybody was happy to have him do it. Now who? That's the big question for this group moving forward, and I think it's the number one question that they need to get answered heading into camp. All right. So one of Sean McVay's former assistants, Zach Taylor, according to Sean McVay, he doesn't need any advice from me. He's got it all locked down. I think that's good news for the Rams. That's coming up in just a bit. But first, let me tell you about AG1. AG1 from Athletic Greens is something that has really changed the way I start my day. It's really remarkable how quickly adding a multivitamin, having a something that just kind of starts your day, it changes the way the rest of your day goes. I've been using AG1 now for the better part of a month. I started taking it every morning, and it's changed everything. My body feels better. I got a little boost in the morning. I'm getting all those vitamins that I needed that I wasn't getting before. Maybe you're taking a bunch of pills and all these things. AG1 is so easy. I wake up in the morning, big glass of water, mix in a scoop of the AG1, and I feel better. You know that little buzz you get from coffee? AG1. I'm not drinking nearly as much coffee as I used to be. My stomach, my gut health, all that stuff that's kind of, you know, maybe a little uncomfortable to talk about, but incredibly important to your day. AG1 takes care of all of those things for you. Lifestyle friendly, no matter how you're living, with keto, paleo, vegan, dairy free, whatever it is, AG1 fits right into it. And it's not nearly as cost prohibitive as you might think, right? Think about the coffees that you buy. It's less than $3 a day. Everything else that you're buying, this fits in perfectly easily. It's got over 7,000 five-star reviews. It's recommended by professional athletes. It's trusted by leading health experts. Just all of these different people, all of these different experts are telling you you need something like this in your life. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially as we get into the time of the year where there's cold, where there's flu. It's all of these things. One scoop of water every day, AG1 right in there, shake it up, drink it. It tastes really, really good. It's giving you that little buzz. It's giving you all those pills, those supplements. You don't have to take them anymore because it's all in AG1. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NFL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. You're going to feel great. Trust me. Go check it out. athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. And, right, the basketball ends tonight, as a matter of fact. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. So whether you want to get in on the end of the college hoops, whether you want to get in on the NBA playoffs, whatever it is, the Masters is this week, right? Who doesn't want to get excited? Tiger might play, right? All of your Masters odds, podcast reviews, all of the different leagues, all in one spot at betonline.net. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Bet online, where the game starts. And I'm going to go get me some Tiger Woods odds and see if I can't do a little Tiger bet along the way. Who doesn't want to bet on Tiger? Who doesn't love Tiger Woods along the way? All right, so let's get right into it. Zach Taylor and Sean McVay. Sean McVay was talking about him at the winter meetings, and he said something really interesting. Talked about going up against his former pupil, going up against one of his assistants in the Super Bowl they did a couple of months ago. And here's where McVay said about Zach Taylor and the Cincinnati Bengals. They were a lot more competitive than we were the first time. I don't think he needs my advice. He was a big part of a lot of things that have been good with LA in the 5 years we've been here. I'm rooting for the Bengals unless we see each other. More than anything, I just appreciate him. Our time together was really special. He's such a great coach. Just the resilience, the way he's led, it's been so impressive. Some of the adversity that they've been able to overcome is real and testament to his leadership. I just told him, loved him, really appreciated him, and they're going to be a really good team for many years to come. Okay, so when I read that from him, one, I think it's sincere. I think that Sean McVay has done something with his assistants that's incredibly admirable. That a lot of times when guys will come to an organization, think about the Patriots, who had a bunch of guys go become head coaches, but not a ton of success along the way. And they're never allowed to talk to the media. They were kind of kept aside from everybody else. Sean McVay has empowered these guys to a certain degree. He's empowered them to go become head coaches, to talk publicly, that these are guys that are very highly sought after players along the way. And hearing him say that about Sean, or about Zach Taylor, I should say, reminded me of that team that the Rams had in Super Bowl 53 a few years ago that did not perform particularly well in the Super Bowl, that did not have its best day when its best day was required, to steal one of Sean McVay's lines. The Rams came out and laid an egg, and they came out the next season and had their worst season under Sean McVay. Now, it was 9-7. It was hardly a disastrous season. But Sean McVay did something that Zach Taylor is going to find out is incredibly challenging right now. And that is, how do you keep this thing moving? You got to a point of success way earlier than I think anybody probably anticipated, right? Nobody expected the Rams to be in the Super Bowl in their second year under McVay. Nobody expected the Cincinnati Bengals to go to the Super Bowl in their third year under Zach Taylor. This is not the timeline that anybody was expecting. So when you get there, but you still come up a little bit short the way that the Rams did in 53 and the way that the Bengals did in 56, it's very difficult to get back up on your feet, to figure out why you weren't quite good enough. And again, there's this weird thing that when you lose the Super Bowl, you're a bad team, that you failed somehow. Fact of the matter is, you got further than everybody else except for one other team. And figuring out how to tinker, how to address it. We've seen them deal with their offensive line along the way. And that's for the Bengals to worry about. But it reminded me again of just how impressive it is for Sean McVay to do what he's done, to not just come in and have success right away. That happens occasionally. But to come in and have success right away and then have what ultimately would be considered, you know, one of the more major disappointments of your career, losing the Super Bowl. We've seen, think about some of the teams that have gone to the Super Bowl and lost. San Francisco got to the NFC Championship game last year, but they haven't been back. We've seen the Atlanta Falcons blew the 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. They haven't come within 100 miles of the Super Bowl since then. Teams that lose the Super Bowl typically go into this funk, this malaise that they can't quite get out of for a period of time. If they get out of it at all, they took the Rams one season. They had a down year, 9-7. They bounced back into the playoffs the next year, and the next year they win the Super Bowl. That is unbelievable. So when I hear him talking about Zach Taylor and talking about how he thinks that the Bengals are going to be one of the teams that they have to deal with moving forward, obviously on the other half of the draw, they'd only play them in a super meaningful event in the Super Bowl again. But it reminded me all over again of just how good of a coach Sean McVay is to have pulled that team from where they were under Jeff Fisher to put them in the Super Bowl, to lose the Super Bowl. And by the way, not just lose it, but lose it in a way that felt weird. They scored 3 points. This is a team that was playing video games, scoring 30, 40 points pretty regularly. And then three got a little embarrassed, if we're being honest about it. And then to, in the grand scheme of things, immediately turn around. They're right back there 3 seasons later and they win the whole thing. And they're the gold standard of consistency and development and all in and everything that the Rams have done. It's extraordinary. And when he says that about Zach Taylor, A, I believe him. I believe that he's giving him real praise because he's always been incredibly complimentary of the players, or the coaches, I should say, that have played with him before. But I think more than anything else, it demonstrates what he believes in his own bones about his own organization. Look, just because we didn't win doesn't mean we're not going to go back and do it again. And while the challenge of coming back and winning a Super Bowl after losing a Super Bowl a previous couple of years earlier, what about winning? What about trying to go back to back? There's nothing harder than that. And I think that he's exactly the right guy for the job. Exactly the right guy for the job to say, okay, that was last year. We need to get ready to go again. Here's how we're going to do it. Here are the players we're going to use. Here's the philosophies that we're going to engage in. That he gets that the way that he does at the age that he is, it's extraordinary. So when I heard him talk about Zach Taylor, I'm thinking, you know what? He's talking about himself. He's talking about, and not in an egotistical way, but in a, hey, look, I did this. I know how hard this is to do. He's going to have the challenge of that, and I think he's ready for it. But, oh, by the way, I'm ready for it again, too. The challenge is a little different. It's repeating. It's not trying to get back there again and punch your ticket the way that they had to do it last year. But the challenge is still the same. It's we've gotten to the highest point, and now we have to go all the way back to square one and start all over again, which brings us to the next point. They're going to have to go and start back at square one and do it all over again with arguably the most challenging schedule in the league. The odds makers have spoken. I'll tell you where they land as far as the challenging of the 2022 schedule goes. That's coming up in just a bit. But first, let me thank you again for making Locked On Rams your first listen every day. Make sure you're following Locked On NFL, Locked On NFL Experts, covering the biggest stories around the NFL every Monday through Friday in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. And who knows, you might see my charming face on there every once in a while. Also, right, we are getting into that time of year. We're getting a little closer to some warm weather. You want to feel good. Maybe you want to be out of the pool or the beach or whatever it might be. How about some Built Bars, right? Let's make sure that you're not just loading up on all of the bad stuff that's in your pantry, that might be in your car, that might be in your desk at work. Throw some Built Bars into the mix. They're all the good stuff, right? They're low calorie, they're high protein, they taste great, and they let you snack well. They let you maybe skip a meal here and there, and all of a sudden, you don't have to worry about catching up and I gotta eat all these calories. No. Tastes great, low calorie, high protein. This is what you want at Built Bar. 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, 17 grams of protein. You're thinking, what does that mean? Here's what it means. The good stuff without the bad stuff. And it tastes great as well. Coconut, coconut almond, mint brownie. They've got a cookies and cream one that's going on right now. Go check it out. Built Bar, it's always about the taste first and then making sure it's really good for you after that. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off of your order. Use that promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, so the opponents for the Rams have been out for a while, but now that Vegas has had a chance to kind of figure out who's on which team and which teams have made which moves along the way, and they've done all their win projections for these teams along the way, we now have an idea of who has the hardest schedule in the league, who has the easier schedules in the league. Now, we knew that the Rams was going to be fairly daunting just because of the two divisions that they were going to draw outside of their own. But let's kind of go through this. And according to they have the third most difficult schedule according to projected wins for the 2022 season. Let's just put the division aside. Two against Arizona, two against Seattle, two against San Francisco. You know, Arizona's the team that they always beat. San Francisco's the team that they never beat. So that's probably a wash on some level. And it feels like Seattle is in the middle of a rebuild. So I don't know how much you worry about them. But the two divisions that they've drawn outside of the NFC West, where you're going to play double dips in both of these things, they got the NFC South, which is not too bad. Because other than Tampa, you feel like Carolina and Atlanta and New Orleans are teams that you should probably beat along the way, right? And you look at it, they're going to get Atlanta and Carolina at home. They got to go on the road for arguably the two better teams in the division in New Orleans and Tampa. So you figure there's probably one or two of those games that will be, you know, nip-tuck and maybe don't go your way. Where it gets particularly challenging is the other division that they've drawn. Who's the division that's made the most noise this offseason? The AFC West, right? The Chiefs, they traded Tyreek Hill, but they're still one of the best teams in the league. They got some very good players coming back as well. The Raiders go out and get Davante Adams. They go out and get Chandler Jones. So you have to play the Las Vegas Raiders. You've got the Chargers, your team that shares the building with you. I don't know if anybody did more this offseason maybe than the Chargers did. Khalil Mack, J.C. Jones, they've added a million guys along the way. And oh, by the way, as weird as it is because they didn't make the playoffs, the Chargers are a very, very good football team. The Chargers, you know, are going to want to beat the Rams. You know that they're going to want to establish themselves as, air quotes, the better team in Los Angeles. So you know you're going to have your hands filled there. And then you got Russell Wilson in Denver with the Broncos. This is an entirely different new-look team. And while the Broncos, I never thought were a great team, they did kind of hang around for most of the season. They were in the playoff mix very late into the year last year, and that was with a quarterback situation that was totally up in the air. Now that you have a not just a good quarterback, but a very good one in Russell Wilson, that becomes a game that is anything other than a slam dunk. Now let's throw in the three games that they have to play that are just you're playing teams from other divisions that aren't part of your regular rotation, but you match up based on that you're a first-place team in your division. You know who they get? They have to go to Green Bay to take on the Packers. They get the Buffalo Bills at SoFi Stadium, and they get the Dallas Cowboys at SoFi Stadium. Buffalo and Green Bay are two of the favorites to win the Super Bowl next year. The Dallas Cowboys should be a pretty good team again. You know, who knows with them? They're kind of all over the map. But you've got two games against the team that you had to beat in the NFC Championship game. You've got a game against the Green Bay Packers, who are going to be one of the favorites in Green Bay. You've got a game against Buffalo Bills, who are probably the number one team in the AFC. And if it's not them, it's probably the Kansas City Chiefs, who you're going to have to play. You're going to have to play the greatest quarterback of all time again for the third consecutive year in Tom Brady in Tampa. You're going to have to go deal with Russell Wilson, even though he left the division because now he's in Denver. That schedule, yeah, I can see where it would line up to be the third hardest schedule in all of the NFL. That is going to be a nightmare. Now, we'll see how it all shakes out when they actually give us the dates for these games. But just as far as the teams themselves go, the random ones you draw, Green Bay, Buffalo, Dallas, on top of the AFC West and the NFC West, Rams are going to have their hands full. And, oh, by the way, haven't even mentioned this, they are the defending champions, which means every single night somebody's going to be governing for them every single time that they take the field. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Rams. Thanks for making us your listen. First listen, I should say, every single day. Now make your next listen, Locked On NFL Draft. Ryan Tracy and former NFL corner Eric Crocker bringing the draft to life every day with insight and analysis on college football prospects and NFL front offices. It, too, is free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, whose house? It's Locked On Rams' house.